and what you can do. James chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. James is giving some instructions to the Christians as to what kind of remedies that they can do in certain situations. And verse 13, he says, any among you afflicted, let him pray. So he says, basically, if you got a problem, then you make sure you pray about that. He says, any merry, you're excited, you're happy, let him sing psalms. He says, then start singing. But then in verse number 14 of chapter 5, he says, is any sick among you? Now, this is in context dealing with particularly a sickness that is in conjunction with a sin that a person has done. Okay, and so we use this area in both ways. It says, is any sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church, which Mrs. Dawson did, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Whose prayer is that? That is the prayer that the elders are praying. And the word save there doesn't mean salvation. It means to heal or to make them better or preserve them. And then it says, the Lord shall raise him up, and if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. That's if the person is sick because of their sin. That's why he says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So we take the same passage area, and it is not my job to go to you and say, let me anoint you with oil like in some churches. It is up to the Christian's job to come and say, hey, look, pastor, I've got this situation in my life. There's an illness that I just can't seem to get over, a shake, whatever. I believe that I need the elders to pray for me. It doesn't necessarily have to be a sin issue. It can be any issue. My wife and I couldn't have children for 20 years. We had the preachers anoint us with oil. We prayed. G2 is living proof, amen, that this process does work. And so it is not for every situation, but some situations warrant you calling for elders to pray over you if you so desire. And we do exactly what we did with Mr. Dawson. We'll get the elders of the church together. I go in my office. I've got some virgin olive oil there. We put that on the area or the proximity of the area, and then we lay hands on the individual and we pray for them. And so that's exactly what we just did with Mrs. Dawson here a few minutes ago. God may choose not to heal miraculously. He may use medicinal purposes from doctors. He may not do anything at all and say, okay, it is my will that you suffer. And so we don't know what the will of God is. That's why we're exhausting all avenues that we have the opportunity for. It is here, it is for us, and it's something that we can invoke. Not many places do it. Some do it more than others, but it is something that we can do. So that's what is going on with that area there, and that is what we did. Just didn't want anybody in the dark saying, well, what are they doing back there? Are they doing some hocus pocus? You know, no, that's it. We're just praying and invoking this area right here. Anybody have a question on that? Okay. Now, there are certain illnesses that come because of sin, and that passage deals with that as well. The person's job is to get right with God and then have the elders pray over them, and then God's job is to heal that person if he so seems deals fit to do so. Okay. So keep that in mind. A good case in point is Miriam. Remember, Miriam got taken with leprosy when she sinned against Moses. And then they said, hey, look, heal her. And God said, no, let her stay outside the camp for a while and then bring her back. God said, I choose not to right now. But after a while, then he did. So just to give you that information there on that area. All right. So let's go back to Revelation. And we'll start doing a little bit more studies there. Revelation chapter number 2. And we're going to talk a little bit about crowns tonight. We won't get much into that area, but a little bit. Revelation chapter number 2, and read back over the verses that we had been talking about, chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. So let's stand if you got your place there, Revelation 2, 8 through 11. We'll probably get a chance to talk about one or two crowns tonight, and that's going to be about it. Revelation chapter 2, verse 8, 9, 10, 11. We'll read all three. One, two, three, all four verses together. All right. Everybody got Revelations 2? All right, here we go. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Verse 11, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Amen. My page blew away on me. Father, thank you for tonight. Blessing your word. God, give us a blessing that we can take home. And Lord, just think about tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. All right, we are talking about these churches in the book of Revelations, how they depict church ages, church types, and also Christian types. This particular church, Smyrna, is dealing with the sorely persecuted but protected church, also dealing with the persecuted but protected Christian. How many of y'all felt persecuted this week? How many about last week? Amen. How about this year? How many think we're going to be persecuted in the future? Amen. You might as well leave them up. Amen. We are persecuted, but we are protected, and we should remain faithful despite the persecution. We saw the reference to Christ there in verse number 8, which everyone opens up with a reference to Christ. Verse 9, we begin to see the woes through their persecution. And he says down there, I know thy works and tribulation. Then we saw their wealth through persecution. He says, and poverty, but thou art rich. Then we saw their warning through persecution. I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Then we saw their refinement through persecution. It started with refinement through pain. Notice what he says in verse 10, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. How many of y'all fear suffering? I know I do. I do. I just had a horrible dream the other night. I dreamed there was a big crocodile alligator in our house. And he was so big that I told my wife, leave him alone. I was afraid of him. Leave him alone. Let him stay in the corner. And then I looked behind the door, and there was people's hands and feet back there. I said, he's been eating people. And I woke up, and I thought, this is a bad dream. I don't want to suffer the persecution getting bit by an alligator. I don't want it. I stay away from Florida, amen. Any place where Louisiana, I'm staying away from alligators. Don't want them, amen. I don't even want to dream about them. But I don't know about you, but I don't like suffering persecution. He says, hey, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. It's in our nature to fear suffering. It is. How many of y'all are, you know, you just love pain? I don't. Amen. But guess what? All that you live godly in Christ Jesus shall what? Suffer persecution. So he says, hey, look, this is going to be because of refinement. And this refinement may have to come through pain. Then he says this as well, the refinement through prison. He says down there, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison. We talked about there are different types of prisons out there. Amen. It's not just iron bars. Iron bars don't make a prison. Amen. And then we talked about their refinement through pressing. He says down there, you shall have tribulation 10 days. Amen. You're going to be tried and have tribulation 10 days. That's the refinement through pressing. And then we left off with the refinement through promise. He gives them a promise. He says down there, he says, be thou faithful unto the end. Let me get that right. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. So basically he's saying, you've got to die to live. How many of y'all want to die? Kathy, you want to die?
Yeah, but not
falling
down that way.
Amen. If the truth be known, the only time we want to die is when we don't like what's going on earth. That's when we want to die. I don't like my boss. I don't like what's happening to me. I don't like these bills. I don't like what's happening in the political realm. I don't like suffering. Lord, just take me home. You know, and then Jesus sees you and say, well, hey, good to see you. Well, I was just trying to escape earth. That's not going to wash, amen. But if the truth be known, most of us just want to escape the problems of the world. You know, we want to get away from our job, want to get away from tired situations, want to get away from hecklers, want to get away from it all. And so this crown here can come to you through suffering. It's the crown of life. Don't read into it more than it is there. But oftentimes, to get the crown of life, you've got to die. Not every time. Let me show you this one over here in Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, and this is Stephen, and Stephen's name actually means a crown. It comes from the Greek word that means a crown. Acts chapter number 7, and let's get down to verse 57, I believe it is. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Notice this. And they stoned Stephen. By the way, when they stoned him, were they throwing just little pebbles at them? No, these were normally big boulders. And they stoned them, making sure they were dead. They stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this into their charge. And when he had said this, he fell on sleep. So the name in verse 59, Stephen, they stoned Stephen, means crown. And so he received the crown of life. Back there in Revelation, let's go back there again. He received the crown of life. And so be faithful unto death is implying that perhaps that in regards to church affliction, we may have to die. We may have to die. And if we don't die, we may get severely persecuted that we're on the verge of death. And this crown is to one that goes through that type of suffering. Now, I've got something I want to do. I just want to take a little turn here because notice what he says down there in verse number 10 again. At the end, be thou faithful unto death. So what is God saying that we ought to do about being faithful? Be faithful unto death. What should we not do if we're going to be faithful? Think about Peter. What did Peter do? He denied Christ. So we should not deny Christ, that we know him. We should be faithful doing that which he would call us to do, never shirking from our responsibilities. He says, be faithful unto death. Why? There are going to be people trying to tell you and I to shut our mouths. I heard from my own family members, make him stop. That's what was said from my family members. Make Greg stop. Now, of course, they can't make me stop, but I did kind of respect my mother and chilled out a little bit. Amen. Be faithful, he says, be thou faithful in death, and I will give thee a crown of life. And so this is one of several crowns that we can receive. And I talked to you about this last time. Many think that the crowns are equivalent to rulership because every king has a crown. And what does he do? He rules. He has a domain, he has a territory, and many think that the crowns that we receive are equivalent to areas or territories that we will be responsible for during the millennial reign of Christ. Because guess what? Somebody's got to keep the peace. Would you agree? Right? Are there going to be lost people during the reign of Christ on the earth? Yes. And somebody's got to keep the peace. And so many think that the crowns that we get are going to be equivalent to rulership and authority that we have on the earth. Now, I don't know whether that's true or not, but I do know it's true with earthly kings. They do have territories that they rule over. It was said at one time that the sun never sets on the British Empire. That meant that they had control over every part of the world where the sun was shining at one time. That's a lot of territory. Amen. And so during the millennial reign of Christ, that could be true. And so let's look at this crown of life just here briefly here, because the crown of life, the qualifications are you have to be faithful unto death or severe persecution. Notice the crown of life is for those who suffer for the name of Christ, especially those who lay down their lives for him. Now, do we receive eternal life that way? How do we receive eternal life? By accepting Christ as our Savior. But now the crown of life comes when you go through persecution and are faithful even unto death. This crown will be given to those that are faithful unto trial or death or unusual persecution for the cause of Christ. Go back over to James chapter 1 and verse number 12. James chapter 1 and verse 12. By the way, as we're going to James 1:12, any takers for this crown? I didn't think so. This is one that you actually get without trying. Amen. James 1:12. And notice what he says down there. Now, by the way, James is dealing with suffering and suffering and still trusting God through your suffering. But notice what he said down there in verse number 12. Blessed is the man that what? Endureth temptations or trials or hard times. Amen. Notice this. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried or tested, he shall receive what? The crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. So here he's not talking about dying, but he is talking about severe persecution. There are people in China and in Africa and communist countries that have to go through severe suffering and persecution. And he says, it's for those. So you don't always have to die. You just have to suffer quite a bit. How many of y'all think you're suffering a whole lot now? Layla, you ain't seen it yet, sister. Wait till you grow up. Amen. Hey, if we think we're suffering now, think about what it's going to be like for the cause of Christ once things escalate a little bit before the Antichrist comes in. Because think about just before the Antichrist comes, we're going to get raptured out. And don't you know that God is allowing us to be set up even now? You think about the things that President Obama ushered in that this nation accepts as normal. You think of the things that Donald Trump has ushered in now that we think is normal. We're accepting all the social media scheme and our language, the way we talk. Our diplomacy has gone out the window. Think of the things that have been ushered in just in the last two presidencies that is becoming acceptable as normal. And our young people are growing up into that, to accept that as normal. So people Layla's age are accepting that it's okay to have two daddies or two mamas. It's okay. When you and I, when we were growing up, if somebody said they had two daddies, we think they had two heads. That just, it just doesn't happen. But now they're being molded to accept that. So you can just see how it's going. So the persecution is going to ramp up for those of you who stand up and say, no, but God said, that's not right. They will persecute you like nobody's business. Amen. So that is one crown. Let's look at just another crown here briefly. Let's go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 19. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 19, because I want to take just a brief look at some of the crowns that you and I can win. The crown of life is one there in Revelation, but in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse number 19, 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 19. Pastor White, are you there? Can you read that for me until I get there? Amen. So over here in 1 Thessalonians, we have what's called the crown of rejoicing. Crown of rejoicing. Now just take a stab at what you think this crown is for. What are the qualifications for this crown? Now think about it. Paul is writing to the church at Thessalonica, and he says, our hope, our joy, or crown of rejoicing. And then he lists something there. What might this crown be for, Faith? Well, not necessarily when you die and go to heaven. That it could be, though. It could be. We can actually get this one here. Joshua? Getting saved. That helps to be saved. Amen. Mariah? Rejoicing in the Lord, yes, but what is my rejoicing for? Gregory? Rejoicing in persecution. Not persecution. We should, but most of us don't. Amen. Anybody? Yeah, Joshua? Not suffering. Notice how I read here. Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? It's about his coming, but what do I have at his coming? What's the only thing I can take to heaven for Andrea? Souls. So other people. He said, notice how I read here. For what is our hope, Paul saying this, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? What do we have to rejoice about? Are not even ye, Paul said, you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to, when God comes and he finds these people that we have led to the Lord, this has been nicknamed the soul winner's crown, because I can present people to Christ. These are folks that, Lord, you've enabled me to win to Christ. It's a crown of rejoicing. He's talking to this church at Thessalonica. He said, look, we can present you guys. He said, hey, look, these are people that we won to Christ. So every person that you have won to Christ, Christ can be presented to him. Because Paul said down there in verse number 19 again, what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye your presence in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. He said we get boasting out of this, because basically if you look up the word rejoicing there, rejoicing means to boast. So I can say, Lord, look. So if you've won your children to Christ, you can say, Lord, look. If you won your neighbor to the Lord, Lord, look. You won a co-worker to the Lord, Lord, look. A grandpa or uncle or aunt, Lord, look. Crown of rejoicing. Hey, that's exciting. What's the first thing that we do when people get saved normally? Try to bring them to who? Well, you do try to bring them to church. But and if they get saved in church, what do we normally do? Who do you try to bring them to? Pastor. What are you saying? Pastor, look. When somebody gets saved, Lord, look, crown of rejoicing. Why? We're excited that God saved this soul. We say, Lord, look what happened. Pastor, look, this individual just got saved. Pastor White, look, this guy just got saved in children's church. Lord, look, the crown of rejoicing. Amen. I don't know about you. I want that crown. I don't have to die for that one. I can be alive and get that one. Amen. I'm sure y'all, hey, I can do that crown. Amen. The martyr crown, I get that to Brother Kelly. Amen. I don't want that one. Amen. Now, I may get that one. And you may get that one too. But this crown of rejoicing, I want that one. This is sometimes called the soul winner's crown. The crown of rejoicing for those who win others to Christ, and it's sometimes called the soul winner's crown. Paul let this church at Thessalonica know that when the Lord came, they would be presented as crowns of rejoicing or boasting because their souls were won to Christ under his ministry. And so we should make it an effort to try to see people saved and get this crown of rejoicing. Why? God delights in seeing people saved. Give you one more here. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. So we've got the crown of life. You got to die for that one or get persecuted. The crown of rejoicing. That's the soul winner's crown. That's for leading people to Christ. But then let's go to this third one here. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. I'm going to ask you the qualifications for this one as well. 2 Timothy 4, 8. Who's there? Go ahead, Faith, read that. Amen. So this here is a crown of righteousness. So we've got the crown of life, persecution or death. We've got the crown of rejoicing or crown of boasting, soul winner's crown. But then we've got this crown here, the crown of righteousness. Now it says henceforth. Henceforth means there are qualifications for this crown. What are the qualifications? In verse number 7. Yes, Joshua? Or 6, I'm sorry. 6 or 7. That's a part of it. Now, this is a twofold thing here. He says it's for those that love his appearing. Okay, so let's capture that thought first. Is it just his appearing that we love? But why will we love his appearing? It's over. We stayed the course. We will love his appearing because of verse number 6 and 7. Notice what he says. For I am now ready to be offered up. Paul said, I'm ready to die. And the time of my departure is at hand. He says, it's time for me to go. He says, I have fought a good fight. Qualification number 1. I have finished my course. Qualification number 2. I have kept the faith. Qualification number 3. Henceforth, as a result of me finishing my course, keeping the faith, doing what I was supposed to do, I'm excited to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is the one person that children don't want to see when their chores are not done when parents get home? Parents. They don't love that appearing. If the room is not made up and say, hey, did you make your room up? Oh, well, you know, let me go and talk to somebody else. They don't love that appearing. But when we do what we know we're supposed to do, we love the Lord's appearing. So he says, wait a minute, the qualifications for this crown are listed in verse number 7. I've fought a good fight. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. So as a result, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Now, the word righteousness is simple. Just put it as this, doing right.
Doing right. That's a simple definition of righteousness. Doing right. Doing right by God. Doing right what God would have me to do. Children, if you want to have righteousness, do right by God. That's easy. Easy. Pretty easy, I'm around. So if you do everything mom and dad say, you will be considered righteous. Tough deal, isn't it, though? Amen. It is. It is. Crown of righteousness. And so Paul gives the qualifications there of those. It's for those who have done the will of God and are excited about seeing Jesus when he appears. So we have to ask ourselves then, are we ready with these qualifications? Because it's for those who are looking for and loving Christ's return. I remember my dad used to leave and he would say, now, son, I need you to cut the grass and I need you to do the windows and do all these things here. And I'd go out there and try to do my very, very best for him and edge up the yard and make sure the windows were squeaky clean, you know, rake up all the leaves just like he would do it. And I was waiting for him to appear. Why? You know what I wanted to hear him say? Well done. Also, give me something too. You know. But I was looking for him to say, well done, because if he said well done, I knew it would be well for me. Now, if it wasn't well done, I know it wouldn't be well. I would be well done. Amen. But I want to make sure that I did it just like he asked me to do it. I did everything exactly the way. And he would drive up and he said, oh, son, look like I did that. Boy, that was the words I wanted to hear. Look like I did it. Because my dad did some neat work. And if I heard him say, look like mine, I'm like, oh. I forgot about let another man praise the amen. Hey, this crown of righteousness comes for those who love the Lord's appearing because they have finished their course. They have kept the faith and they have fought a good fight. So if we want to do that, Paul said, there's going to be a crown of righteousness laid up for us who can do that. Amen. So our goal then is to be right, do right as much as we can so that the moment we get raptured, we can say, man, Lord, I was caught doing right. Amen. I was caught doing right. And can you imagine the Lord raptures us out doing something wrong? We'll be embarrassed in heaven. Being someplace we ought not be, doing something we ought not be doing, going someplace we ought not go, saying something we ought not say, hearing something we ought not hear, and then boop, the rapture happens. Hey, Greg, what were you doing? You don't want to know. But he's omnipotent, he knows. He's omniscient, he knows. Omnipresent, he knows. Amen. So righteousness is doing right. He said, I fought a good fight. Hey, I finished my course. I've kept the faith. So Paul said, I'm now ready. He said, and as a result, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. So three crowns that we can win so far. We've got the crown of life over in Revelations and James. And that is the one that if you severely are persecuted for the name of Jesus Christ or you die standing for Christ, you can get the crown of life. And there is a crown of rejoicing or the soul winner's crown that you can get presenting people before the Lord saying, Lord, look what I have bought for you. Amen. I got somebody saved and here they are. I'm presenting them to you. The crown of rejoicing and then the crown of righteousness, just doing right and doing what God would have us do by fighting a good fight, finishing our course and keeping the faith. And those are three crowns. And we'll look at three more next week if the Lord tarries and get the qualifications on those, because we do want to make sure that we understand God is a rewarder of faithfulness. Don't ever get tired of doing right. Don't ever get tired of being a soul winner. Don't ever get tired of the persecution, although we do get tired of it. But God is going to reward us. Don't ever get tired because God is going to reward. I know it gets tough and I know sometimes we think, man, but it's so hard and nobody knows the trouble I've seen. God knows. God knows. These crowns here, the crown of life, the crown of rejoicing, the crown of righteousness, these are crowns that you and I can win and we should strive to win them. But it's not all about the crown. You know what it's about? Doing our best for God. He deserves it. Why? He saved us. And so if for no other reason, not just for the crown, but because I love God. I love God. And so I'm going to do my debt level best. Now, I love my dad, and I used to try to do my best for my dad. Now, I enjoyed hearing well done from my dad. But he was my dad, and I always wanted to make sure that I impressed him by doing the very, very best I could. Why? That's my dad. I want to please him. You know, he's our God, our Savior. We want to please him. And say, Lord, because you redeemed me, precious blood was spent for me. Lord, I want to give my very best for you. Let's all try to do our very best for the Lord the remainder of this week. Crown of righteousness, the soul winner's crown, a crown of rejoicing, and then the martyr's crown, the crown of life. If I don't see y'all Sunday, I hope it's not because you got the crown of life. I'm not praying, wishing that on you, amen. But it could happen. We never know. And this world is getting more and more wicked as the time goes by. Amen. And so let's stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Stand as Paul said to stand. And we can hear the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Lord, I do pray that you would help us with the crown of life. You would help us with this crown of rejoicing. You would help us, Lord, with the crown of righteousness, Lord, to live right, to do right, to be right, to hear well done, thou good and faithful servant, Lord, to be able to present souls to you for the soul winner's crown, saying, Lord, look at the souls that you've allowed me to win to you. And then, Lord, the crown of life, Lord, we may have to endure persecution for it. But Lord, I do pray that you would bless nonetheless in our lives, helping us to be conscious and aware their rewards for faithfulness in the kingdom of God. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Bless now the remainder of tonight and get us back together in our desired time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.